Matthew chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. Matthew chapter 7, 24 to 27. The text reads, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever." You may be seated. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we ask that as we come to the preaching and hearing of your word, that you would help us. Help me, please, to have zeal and passion and courage and boldness. That you would not hold my sin against me, but you would help me have freedom and strength in the preaching of your word. And that you would cleanse us all from remaining corruptions that we can so easily give into. And we pray that you would continue to help us to fight the good fight of faith and help us hear and heed your word. And for those who are lost here, may they hear under the saving of their soul. And so we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is, I only have one more sermon, God willing, after this in the Sermon on the Mount. So we're very much at the end of the Sermon on the Mount in the application portion of it. The application portion of it. The reality of who we are to be in light of all that Christ has said to us. Most people ask at some point in their life, what should I do with my life? How should I live? How do I know what is right and what is wrong? How do I know the avenue and choices I should make? And the good and beautiful thing about this text is it tells us the best and happiest and most successful way, in the truest sense of the word, to live. The happiest, the best, and the most successful way to live in this earth. And so the main point of this text is hearing and doing the sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hearing and doing the sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ. My first point is the wise man hears and does Christ's sayings. The wise man hears and does Christ's sayings. My second point is the foolish man hears and does not do Christ's saying. The wise man hears and does not do Christ, or the foolish man hears and does not do Christ's saying. So again, the wise man hears and does Christ's sayings. The foolish man hears and does not do Christ's sayings. So again, my first point, the wise man hears and does Christ's sayings. As it says in verse 24, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock." The wise man described here again is the one who hears Christ's sayings and does them. Hears and does. But that word in the beginning of verse 24 is important. It's the word therefore. What we saw last Sabbath day was that those who are marked as the characteristic of their life as practicing lawlessness. That's how it says at the end of verse 23. You who practice lawlessness. They will hear from Christ, "I never knew you, depart from me." Those who are marked by hearing Christ's words, but not doing them, will hear, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Therefore, he says, the wise man, because those who don't practice my word will hear, I never knew you. The wise man, the one who is actually walking in wisdom, will hear my sayings and will do them. Everything else is foolish. Every other path is foolishness, save or except hearing and doing Christ's sayings. Because everyone who hears and does not do will hear those dreadful words. I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, or you who practice hearing and not doing. And so he says, in connection to the reality that not everyone who says to him, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do his will, those who are not marked by practicing lawlessness are those who will hear well done, but those who are marked by practicing lawlessness will hear, I never knew you. And so you have to ask yourself the question today, what are you building your house on? What is your life built on? Is it hearing and not doing, or is it hearing and doing? The foolish way is to hear and not do. And all of you here are hearing, and some of you are not doing, and some of you are hearing and doing. And it's completely different ends, because no one here can say they haven't heard. Everyone here is hearing the word of Christ through the preaching of his word. And some of you are choosing to hear and not do. You are choosing to hear and not practice. You're choosing to hear and go your own way. But some of you, by God's grace, are choosing to hear and do. Not imperfectly, yes, but hear and do. And blessed be God that we have a congregation of people who want to hear and do. But I'm also pleading with you that you know that you're hearing and not doing. Give careful heed to this text. Give careful heed to what God says through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see again that Jesus says, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. Let me just say this as an encouragement for God's people. If you're here today and you're in Christ, the wonderful thing for you, yes, I'm mixing up a little bit and applying early to keep you on your toes. The wonderful thing for you is to know that you can actually hear and do. I don't know about you, but that's an encouragement for me. That if I am a Christian, I can actually hear and do. I'm not hopeless. I'm not without hope. I can actually hear and do Christ's sayings, because Jesus defines people that actually exist. There are actually people in the world that hear Christ and do what he says. That's not an imaginary category. His people really hear him and they really do him. His sheep hear his voice and they follow him. And so blessed be God that if you're here, you're in Christ. You're never hopeless. You're never stuck. You can hear and do. You can hear and grow. You can hear and put sin to death. You can overcome sins that might have brought you into their ensnarement at times. You can hear and do by the grace of God. That if you're in Christ, you are never stuck in your sin. Never. Never. You can always grow and hear and do. You are, if you're in Christ, hearing and doing, but you can excel more and more. Blessed be God that Jesus doesn't just save us from the wrath of God. He saves us from the enslaving power of sin. So that at one point we can never hear and do. And now if we're in Christ, we can hear and we can do. Because God's people are marked by being doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving themselves. As we might turn to that text, God willing, later in the sermon. And so Jesus says that we are to, the wise man who builds his house on the rock is the one who hears his sayings and does them. Hears and does. Well, what's the first way in which we can have a solid foundation built on the rock? Well, what's the first thing that Jesus commands us to do? The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. And so first and foremost, our life is hearing and doing if we have repented of our sin, which means we acknowledge sin before God as sin. We agree with God that, yes, this is sin. It's a violation of your commandments, and I agree with you that it's sin. Second, we grieve in our heart over that sin. We say, not only I agree with you, but I'm grieved because I have sinned against you, and I desire to be free from it. Those are the three aspects of biblical repentance. You acknowledge it as sin, you grieve over it as sin, and you desire to be free from it because it's sin. And then you believe the gospel. Meaning, who is the gospel but Jesus Christ himself? Jesus in his life, living the law perfectly in our place, in his active obedience, keeping all of God's commandments, and upon the cross, bearing our sin upon himself on the tree, satisfying God's wrath, appeasing the wrath of Almighty God, being risen from the dead, ascended on high. We put our trust in him because Jesus is the gospel. We no longer trust in ourselves or our performance or our merit or our good works. But first and foremost, to hear and do Christ's sayings, we repent. We acknowledge our sin. We grieve over it. We want to be free from it. And we put our trust in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. No one can ever truly do Christ's sayings beyond that if they are not first in Christ by faith in him. And so, first and foremost, the wise man builds his life on the rock by repenting and believing the gospel. By repenting and putting his trust in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the gospel. Jesus Christ himself is the gospel, and all of his benefits are found in him. But then we also see, as it's in the context of this sermon, the wise man hears Christ's sayings and does them. Well, what's the immediate context? Hears and does Christ's sayings in this sermon. The wise man, if you turn in your Bibles to, as I flip to some of these just to make reference to them, the wise man is marked by being salt and being light. Matthew 5:13-16. In light of being in those blessed states of blessed are, in light of being those things, he is salt in the earth. And he lets his light so shine before men that they may see his good works and glorify his Father in heaven. So the ones who are hearing and doing Christ's saying, they are light in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. By their actions, their choices, their decisions, they are lights in this world. They are also those who keep and teach God's commandments, verses 17 to 20. Those who hear and do Christ's sayings, they desire from the heart to do God's commandments as they are summarized in the Ten Commandments and to teach them to others. They desire to obey God's commandments. There are also those, according to 21 and 26, that seek to flee from sinful anger. They hear and do Christ's sayings by not being angry without a cause. They want to forsake and kill anger in the heart or anger in the words or anger in the actions. They hate anger in themselves and they want to be free from it. Those are those who are hearing and doing Christ's sayings. They're not comfortable with their anger. They hate their anger and they want to be more and more free from it. And they seek peace and unity as they seek to be reconciled to their brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, as it says in verses 23 to verse 26. And then we see those who are hearing and doing Christ's sayings are seeking to forsake and kill and more overcome sexual lust. They more and more want to forsake and kill and destroy and repent of sexual lust, of looking at a woman to lust after her and therefore committing adultery with her in his heart. They more and more desire to be free from that, to set that aside. They desire to view marriage as God defines it, and they don't want to seek unlawful divorce. They don't even want to use the word divorce because they want to be faithful in their marriage oaths to their wife or to their husband, as it says in verses 31 and 32 of Matthew 5. They also want to forsake false swearing. They don't want to swear falsely, as it says in verses 33 to 37. They want to tell the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth. They want to be people who speak the truth in love. They want to seek to not repay evil for evil, but instead overcome evil with good, 38 through 42. They want to do good to others. Verses 43 to 48, they want to love their enemies and pray for those who persecute them and bless those who curse them, etc. They are those who desire from the heart to love even their own enemies. These are those who hear and do Christ's commandments. They also want to give charitable deeds, not to be seen by men, not to get glory from men, but to receive the reward that comes from their Father. They also want to pray in the secret place, not to receive the applause of men, but to receive the reward of God. They want to pray diligently in the secret place. There are those who desire when they fast, not to fast for the applause and approval of men, but for the praise and glory of God. There are those who are not living for this temporal world. They're not living for the life that now is, but they're living ultimately for the life that is yet to come as they're laying up not treasures on earth, but treasures in heaven, 19 through 21. There are those who are not serving mammon, but they're serving God. They're not seeking to serve the world, the flesh, and the devil, the materialism of this world. They are seeking to serve God, verse 24 of Matthew 6. Verses 25 to 34 of Matthew 6, they are those who desire to forsake worry and trust in their Heavenly Father. They are those who know that God is their Heavenly Father. Therefore, they have nothing to worry about. And therefore, they desire to put aside worry and fear and anxiety. They are those who do not want to hypocritically judge other people, but they want to judge with righteous judgment. Matthew 7:1-6. They want to pray to their Heavenly Father, knowing that He gives them good things when they ask. Matthew 7:7-11. They want to do to other people as they would want done to them. Matthew 7:12. They enter by the narrow gate, meaning they enter by Christ, and they're walking that narrow way of holiness and righteousness and conformity to the will and word of God. And they are those who are on guard against false prophets and teachers, seeking to run away from and reject false teaching and false teachers. This is what Jesus means by those who hear and do my sayings. They are those who hear what he has to say and they do it. They hear his word and they desire to put it into practice. Other things we could say is, as it relates to hearing and doing Christ's saying, it's not enough merely to hear that husbands are to love their wives as Christ loves the church. If they're not implementing that truth, if they're not leading in love, they're merely hearing but not doing. Or it's not good enough for wives to merely hear that they should honor, obey, and submit to their own husbands if they are not seeking to implement that in their daily life. There should be a hearing of Christ's words to husbands, love your wives, and wives, submit to your own husbands, and a doing of it, not just a mere hearing of it. Or a children obeying their parents. There shouldn't be a mere hearing of that. There should be a doing of that. And if you hear but do not do, you're a foolish man who builds your house on the sand. Or parents who do not just hear that they're to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition or the training and admonition of the Lord, but actually seek to do it and actually seek to implement in the lives of their children the word of God. Or those who seek to not speak lies but speak truth to his neighbor. Or not steal to one another, but to work diligently with your hands. Or to put away all bitterness and wrath and clamor and evil speaking. And instead be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. And so all these things are connected with hearing and doing Christ's sayings. It's not enough, beloved. It's not enough that we hear if we don't change. Jesus is not interested in people merely hearing his word and having a lot of sermons in their mind and having a lot of books in their brain if their life is not different because of it. If there is not a desire to conform their mind and their affections and their will to God's word. It is not enough to say, you know what? I know that to be true, but my life has not changed. There should be a desire in all of us, if we are the wise man, to hear what Christ has to say to us and do it. And do it. Let me turn to James chapter 1. It's put in the negative. If you've turned there with me, James chapter 1. James chapter 1, and starting verse 21. James chapter 1 and verse 21, it says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. So there has to be a reception of the word of God, a hearing of it and receiving of it. But then it says in verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Verse 23, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. And then we see it put positively in verse 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. That's what we see. We do not want to be merely hearers of God's word and not doers. Because if we do that, similar to chapter 7, 21 and 23 of Matthew, we might deceive ourselves and hear, I never knew you. But we want to be those who are doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. God's people are marked by, yes, hearing God's word, because you can't do what you don't know. So there must be a hearing of God's word, but there must be more than that. There must be a desire to do it. there must be a desire to implement God's word. There must be a desire to say, you know what? I know that this is sin. I know that this is not faithful. I know that this is not obedient, and I'm willing to change whatever it takes to make sure I conform my life to the word of God. I am willing to set things aside and put things aside and lay things aside so that I might be able to obey and keep God's word. I'm willing and desirous to say, you know what? I'm putting this aside. I don't care how foolish I look to the world. I want to do and to keep and to obey Christ's sayings. So the question is for you is, how serious are you about obeying Christ's sayings? The question is for me, how serious am I about obeying Christ's sayings? Are we wanting to be that wise man who builds our house upon the rock, beginning with the rock of Jesus Christ and repentance and faith in him, but then in light of that, in our sanctification, our obedience to him, a growing conformity to obey his will revealed in Holy Scripture? Because we are merely just fooling ourselves if we say, you know what? Yeah, I want to honor Christ, but there's no changing of practice when you're confronted with it from the Word of God. That's what we call hypocrisy. When you're confronted, I'm not saying that you no longer still give in to that temptation, because we still have remaining sin until we go to glory. I'm saying, is there an effort? Is there a desire? Is there taking steps to hear and do Christ's sayings? There's a difference between someone saying, I don't really care, I'm just going to do what I've always done, and someone saying, this is something I have to fight against, but I'm willing to take the necessary steps to hear and do Christ's sayings. There's a big difference between those two people. One is a fool, one is wise. And I'm just using the language of the text. One is a foolish person, a foolish man, and one is a wise man who says, I want to do and to keep Christ's sayings. But then we see what happens to this person who builds their house on the rock. Again, the person who's building their house on the rock is one who is marked by hearing and by doing Christ's sayings. As it says in verse 25, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. I think that this has two key applications. I think one has application to tests, trials, and sorrows in our present life. And I think it might have a more immediate application to Judgment Day. As we saw in verse 21 and 23, the reference was to Judgment Day. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. And then it says, and I will declare them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Because in that day, many will say to me, in that day, meaning Judgment Day, many will say to me, in that day. But let's think about it first and foremost as it relates to this present life. If our life is built, listen to me, this is so crucial for your life. If your life is built on hearing and doing Christ's sayings, no matter what life brings, you're steadfast. This doesn't mean that you might not have sorrow in it, but it doesn't mean you're going to say, you know what, I'm done with Christ and all of this. Because when those trials come, that's where your faith is tested. Was it founded on the rock or was it founded on sand? Were you really serious about hearing and doing Christ's sayings, or was it just when it was convenient for you? Or when it made things better for you? Or it made things a little bit more convenient in terms of your outward circumstances for you? Did you hear and do Christ's sayings just because it was for your best interest or because you wanted to glorify God? Yes, keeping God's commandments is for our best interest in the long run, but there are seasons where it seems like it's not worth it. But if your life is built on hearing and doing Christ's sayings, no matter what comes your way, you're not moving because you're on the rock. And this is why one of the reasons why God brings trials into our life. God brings trials in our life to show us, what are we really resting on, and what is our life really marked by? Is it really hearing and doing Christ's sayings, or is it just a mere lip service to those things? Trials are used by God to say, where is my heart really before God? Am I really serious about obeying God, or was I just doing it because it was for my external best interest? I praise God that I've had times in my life where my faith has been tested, where I've had to say, am I following Christ because it's just going to go well for me externally, or am I following him because I love him and I want to keep his commandments? I remember one thing happened to me, and I was talking to my dad on the phone after this very sad time happened in my life, and he said to me, I'm not sure why exactly he said this to me, but he said, are you going to reject the faith? I said, reject the faith? What are you talking about? Of course not. I'm trusting God through this. I mean, I was sad. I was distraught. I was probably in tears when I was talking to him, if I remember. I might not have been in tears, but I was very sad. But I didn't even think about rejecting the faith because I wasn't trusting in Christ and following Christ because I wanted external benefits. I was following Christ and trusting Christ and doing his will because he's worth it. And this is what we have to be convinced of. Even if trials come our way, we're not saying we're giving it up. This is where our faith is seen. Is it actually genuine? This is where people do reject the faith if their faith wasn't genuine because they came into it not counting the cost, not realizing that trials and suffering come to God's people, and there the rain and the floods descend upon them, and they say, it's not worth it. I'm leaving. I'm done with this. Because their faith was founded on sand, not on rock. God uses trials for us to say, you know what? We are trusting Christ no matter if we get earthly benefit or not. Because he's worth it. Because he's worth it. Let me turn you again to James 1, because James 1 is a great commentary on this section. If you turn there again with me, James 1. James 1 and verse 12. And just for clarity, what my dad said to me over the phone was a paraphrase. He said something to that effect. I can't remember the exact wording, but something to that effect. But you got the principle. Something to the effect of rejecting the faith. James 1 and verse 12. It says, blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Blessed is the one who endures trial or temptation. Because when he's been approved, meaning he's endured that, he will receive the crown of life at the end of the age, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. And then if you turn also to Romans chapter 5, why don't you turn to Romans 5 as well? We see another principle as it relates to trials and their benefit to us. To see what we're founded upon. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 3. Romans 5 and verse 3. It says this, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, or we boast, we rejoice in them, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. My mom's now recovered from COVID, praise God. She's at church this morning. But this is a text that we would talk through. When she would quote it, I would quote some of it, and we would kind of encourage one another with this text as she was really struggling, going through severe symptoms with COVID. Severe. By God's grace, she's better now. She's at church this morning, which is a real blessing. But what this text teaches us, that in our trials, and my mom being sick with COVID was a severe trial for her. I don't think I've ever seen her sicker in my life. But what God does through those things is he causes us to glory in them, to rejoice in them. Why? Because in those things, God increases our perseverance. God increases our perseverance. And perseverance, it builds character. It builds godly, Christ-like character. And character gives us hope. Why does it give us hope? Because it shows us, wow, my faith is genuine. Blessed be God that even in this trial, I'm not rejecting. I'm stronger because of it. That gives me great hope because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And so when these winds and waves and storms come our way and trials and temptations and fears and things that we wouldn't want for ourselves, when they come upon us, we can count it all joy, my brethren, knowing that these trials of various kind produce patience, and that patience have its perfect work in you. And so we want to have that spirit of when these rains descend, when these floods come, when these winds blow, because our life is built on hearing and doing Christ's sayings, we're steadfast, we're immovable. We're continually always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord our labor is not in vain, as it says in 1 Corinthians 15:58. And so this is the mark of one in these earthly trials, if their life is built on hearing and doing Christ's sayings. Have you experienced trials and temptations where your faith has been like that? Has that happened for you? Can you look at trials and sorrows that way? Can you count them joy because they're producing in you perseverance and patience? Can you look them? Can you look at them that way with that spirit? Do you believe that when God brings the rains and the winds, because both those who hear and do and those who hear and do not do, both get the same, but you trust that God has good purposes with it? And has it happened in your life where you are stronger because of it? Are you stronger because of it? Or do you look back with bitterness because you wish that it never happened? Or do you look back with gladness, knowing that God taught you so much that you never would have learned if it wasn't for that trial? Do you trust him? Do you trust that the winds and the waves in this life are not because God is seeking vengeance against you, but because he wants you to feel and know that your faith is founded upon the rock, not on sand? And so we need trials, because we want to be those who are blessed when we endure temptation, because then we'll be approved and we'll receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. And so we see that reality. But ultimately, as I said, the ultimate application is to judgment day. We are justified by faith alone, meaning we are declared righteous in God's sight by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone, not by works of law, lest anyone should boast. But we're also, the faith that justifies us before God is a faith that inevitably and necessarily produces a life of obedience. If it doesn't produce a life of obedience, it's not genuine faith. If our faith does not cause us to hear and do Christ's sayings, it is a demon faith, as James chapter 2 describes. Because the demons believe and they tremble. But their faith is not unto everlasting life, is it? And so the faith that is genuine is a faith that hears and does Christ's sayings. A faith that produces good works, because faith without works is dead. It's dead. And therefore, on judgment day, our faith will be seen as true and genuine and authentic, because it caused us to live differently than we would have lived if it wasn't for faith in Christ. A faith that is actually real produces obedience in the life of those who have it. And so therefore, when we stand on judgment day, the basis of why we will be accepted on judgment day, the basis, the foundation, will be the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. I want to make sure that's clear. The basis of why we stand accepted on judgment day is the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. But the evidence that our faith was not like the demons is our life will be marked by hearing and doing Christ's sayings. That's the balance that we need to strike. One ditch says all you need is mere dead faith in Christ, and that's all you need. A dead faith will justify you and you're good. And that's not good enough. The other side will say your works are the basis of your justification. And that is a damnable heresy as well. The middle road, the biblical balance, is we are justified by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. But all genuine faith, if it is real faith, produces obedience to Christ's sayings. It produces, and therefore, on judgment day, we will be accepted before God in Christ alone. And we will know that we were accepted by Christ alone, because the God who saved us from our sin saved us from the power of sin also, and enabled us more and more to hear and to do Christ's sayings. And so we will stand on judgment day, and the rains and the winds and the floods of judgment will not cast us off, because we've been founded upon Jesus Christ, the rock, and our life has been marked by hearing and doing Christ's sayings. But then, my second point, the foolish man — I've been making allusions to this, but to focus on it more directly — the foolish man hears and does not do Christ's sayings. The foolish man hears and does not do Christ's sayings. Verse 26, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Both, listen, beloved, both hear Christ's sayings. These are not people who are not under the preaching and hearing and reading of God's word. They hear Christ's sayings. They know Christ's demands upon their life. They know maybe from their parents or their pastors or godly friends or godly older men and women. They know Christ's sayings, but they hear and do not do. And it saddens me to see people week after week who I know are here and are not doing Christ's sayings. And I want to plead with you. The way I know you don't desire to hear Christ's sayings is by the way you hear the word of God preached. You hear as if there's no point. You hear as if there's nothing important being said. You hear as if this is just take it or leave it. And you're hearing and not doing Christ's sayings. And when the winds and waves of God's judgment, you will be blown off and you'll be cast into the lake of fire. And I don't want that for you. I don't want that for you. I want you to hear and hear because you want to do. Otherwise, you're hearing with no purpose. We want you to not be a hearer only, deceiving your own self. We don't want you to be one. I don't want you to be one who hears Christ's sayings and hears at the last day, depart from me, I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. But we see the one who is a fool, he hears. He knows. He's not ignorant. He knows God's commands. He knows he's to repent and believe the gospel, but he won't. He knows he is to put aside lust of flesh, lust the eyes of the pride of life, and he won't. He knows he is to live before God with fear and reverence and awe, and he won't. He knows he is to seek God in his word and prayer, and he won't. He knows that he is to live a life not looking and enjoying the things of this carnal world, and he just won't. He knows that he is not to live for what this world says is valuable, and he still does. He knows that those things will cast him into hell. He knows that because he knows Christ's sayings, and he still, without repentance and without forsaking, still lives that way. Let me just say this as well, just as a point I remembered as it relates to hearing and doing Christ's commandments. Part of hearing and doing Christ's sayings is repentance. That's actually obedience to Christ. When we're confronted with sin and we repent, that is a mark that we're hearing and doing Christ's sayings. So I don't want you to hear that as if I'm only doing it this way, then I'm not doing Christ's sayings. No. Jesus is the same one who said repent. And not only repent unto conversion, but repent in sanctification. And so repentance is hearing and doing Christ's sayings as well. But if you're here and you're hearing Christ's sayings and you're not doing them, let me just put it as bluntly as the text puts it, you are a fool. You are a fool. You are a foolish man who is building your life on the sand. You are building your life on the sand. You know God's ways. You know what you ought to do. But there is no desire in your heart to do it. You might do certain things because there's external pressure upon you, whether from parents or from others. But you don't really want to do Christ's sayings. You hear them and you reject them. And let's be honest. If you're not doing Christ's sayings, you're rejecting them. There is no indifference, ultimately. There is no neutrality. You're either hearing or doing, or you're hearing and rejecting. You're not doing them because you're rejecting them. You're saying, I'm not going to do it because I don't want to do it. You're not repenting and believing the gospel because you don't want to. You're not obeying your parents because you don't want to. You're not living in conformity to God's word because you don't want to. Let's not use any of these excuses as if you're just kind of on the fence. If you're not doing Christ's sayings, you're rejecting them. Jesus himself says, if you're not for me, you are against me. So let's just call a spade a spade. If you're here today and you're not doing Christ's saying, just say, I don't want to do God's will. I know. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do what God has for me. I know. But at least be honest about it. Don't fool yourself. Be honest to say, yeah, I know I don't want to do Christ's sayings. I'm not interested in obeying Christ, but at least you're honest. But don't fool yourself by saying that you want to do Christ's sayings and you want to be a Christian when there's no evidence in your life that you're actually doing them. It would be better for you to know that you're not doing them so you're not self-deceived than to think you're doing them when you're really not. Because again, the one who builds his house on hearing and not doing Christ's sayings is a foolish man who built his house on sand. And let me just start with the first application, how it relates. The rains descend, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. If your house is built on the sand, meaning hearing and not doing Christ's sayings, then when the cares, temptations of this world, we see this in the four soils. One of the soils, it springs up for a time. But because it was built, we could say on the sand, the cares, temptations of the world choke it out. And it's unfruitful. And so that the you might for a time say, you know what, because everybody wants me to, or it's seems palatable to be a Christian, I'll be a Christian. But then when it's not for your advantage externally with relationships, you say, I'm done with this. Because it was founded not on the rock, but on the sand. It was founded on shifting sand that is going to cast you away when you realize it's not worth it because you came to Christ, or you were building your life, one, not on Christ's sayings, but on your own desires. And therefore, you were only doing certain things because you thought it brought you external benefits. When those external benefits are gone, I'm done with it. This happens for some people. Let me just use an example. Some people, they do the Christian thing, to put it in that verbiage, because they want to get in a relationship with someone. They think they have to do the Christian thing to because they're interested in a certain person. They do it for a time. The relationship doesn't work out and they're done. Because the reason why they're even thinking about Christ is because they wanted a relationship, not because they wanted Christ and thought he was worthy. Or they had business partners that it was the socially acceptable thing to do to go to church. And therefore, they went to church because it was a socially acceptable thing. And there are still places in our country where it's like that. And then it affects their business, or the businessmen stop going and they stop too because they're rooted and they were doing it because of the external persona it gave them before the businessmen, not for Christ and his worthiness. Or you have children who go to church week after week with their parents, but they are not hearing and doing Christ's sayings. And therefore, when they get to school or they get older, when those restraints are gone, they're done with it because it was built on sand and not on rock. And they showed when the rains came, the floods came, more freedom came, what their house was built on. It wasn't necessarily that there was a great change. The shackles were gone now. They no longer had those shackles. And therefore, the cares and temptations of this world were too much. And because they were founded on sand, they did hear Christ's sayings. But there was not a genuine doing of them from the heart. Sadly but truly, when they got freedom, they fell. And great was their fall. This is what we see when people's lives are founded on the sand. I'm just trying to tell you what the text says. The text says there are people who hear Christ's sayings and are not doing them. And therefore, when these cares, temptations, trials come upon them, and it can be for many reasons. Or to put it on the other side, someone is drawn away by businessmen who are not wanting to do Christ's sayings, and therefore they're drawn away after them. Or a young lady draws away a young man, and he no longer, because he wasn't built on the rock, he's drawn away by a young woman. Or children are drawn away by other children or older children or young adults that are drawing them away to sinful things because, and they give in to them as a persistent pattern because they were not built on rock, but on sand. They were not built on rock, but on sand. But then obviously the great application of this as well is Judgment Day. That on Judgment Day, those who hear and do not do Christ's sayings will show that they were not truly in Christ. And they will be cast into the lake of fire. They will hear those dreadful words, I never knew you, depart from me. They will hear from Christ because they heard his sayings and did not do them. Let me just tell you this as well. It'll be worse for people in hell, for those who heard Christ's sayings and rejected them, than those who never heard Christ's sayings and didn't have the opportunity to reject or accept. People who are in Africa who have never heard the gospel will die and go to hell because they're guilty of breaking God's law. And that's why we send them missionaries, because the gospel is the cure. Sin is the disease that sends them to hell, not the gospel. The gospel is the only remedy. So therefore they go to hell. But their punishment will be less severe than those who have heard and reject. Your punishment, if you are here, because I try to put it crystal clear as best as I'm able, week after week, the truth of God's word, your punishment will be more severe. You know the text, to whom much is given, much is required. We like to quote that text a lot. That's in the context of more severe punishment and judgment. If you read the context of that, that's what it's about. To whom much is given, much is required. So if you're here under the word of God and you're rejecting and you're not heeding, when you're cast in the lake of fire, it will be worse for you. Oh God, spare you from that. Oh, that God would have mercy upon you and spare you from that. That your fall would not be great. That's why it describes it. Great is the fall. Because they heard. They were accountable for sermon after sermon after sermon. Book after book after book. Family worship after family worship. And they still reject it. And great was their fall. Not small. Not a little bit like this. But a colossal skyscraper fall. Oh, what a dreadful day that will be for people to be in hell with hundreds of sermons, thousands of sermons in their brain. Oh, what a dreadful thing. What a sad reality. I think there will be people in hell that one of the reasons why they will weep and gnash their teeth, weeping because they realize their life was wasted. One of the reasons they will weep is because they will have thousands of sermons that will drive them mad as they realize I heard and I reject it. Oh, what a sobering subject. But how can I not be sober with a text like this? When it says, great is their fall. Oh, that wouldn't be you. Oh, that wouldn't be you. Don't deceive yourself. Don't deceive yourself. But the beautiful thing for you, as I do want to put it in a sobering way, is if you repent and believe the gospel, your life will then be built on the rock. You're not without hope. But if you reject, you are without hope. But if you receive Jesus Christ by faith alone as your Lord and Savior, God will transform your life and cause you to keep his sayings. So the question is for you, why are you building your house on the sand? Why are you building your house on what is foolish and fleeting and will cause a great fall? What is causing you to do it that way? What is leading you to act and live in that spirit? What is causing you to do that? Why would you want to have a great fall? What in this world would is worth it to have a great fall? What is worth it to you? What is stopping you from building your life upon the rock of hearing Christ's sayings and doing them? What is stopping you? Oh, that you wouldn't be a foolish man and do that. But you would be a wise man who hears Christ's sayings and does them for the good of your own soul and for the glory of our triune God. Oh, that you would come and you would heed and you would hear the word and you would not have a great fall. And then for God's people here, for the saints here, oh, that you would be devoted to hearing and doing Christ's sayings more and more. Blessed be God that we do have a congregation of people that hear and do Christ's sayings. I'm so thankful to pastor a group like this. Let me just commend you. The saints here are a great encouragement to me because I know they want to hear and heed God's word. I know that if you find something and you see it in the Bible, you want to do it. I believe that wholeheartedly from this group. That this group does want to obey God's word. We have distinct practices here that are very uncommon for churches. I mean, we have all the women covering in their heads. That is very uncommon. But it's because you want to hear and do Christ's sayings. That's one thing. That's not the main thing. I'm just using that as an example. But I am super encouraged that we have a congregation that wants to hear and do Christ's sayings. Whether it's small or whether it's big, that's so encouraging to me as a pastor. To see people who not are saying, I don't want to hear what God's word says. I'm just going to do what I've always done. It's so encouraging for me to see people that want to change if they see it in the word of God. And may we excel in that more and more. May we never get comfortable saying we've arrived, but may we continue to say, I want to be more and more faithful. May you desire to be more and more faithful in big things or in little things. To say, yes, God, I want to obey your commandments. Whether that makes me look different from the world or the world does it too, so it looks similar. Whatever the case is, I want to do your commandments. And this is why it's so important for you to hear preaching. And for you to read the Bible yourself to say, what does God require of me? And it would be good for you if in a sermon you hear, and I maybe don't put it as clear as what you should do with it, you should come up to me and say, Pastor Sam, what should I do with that sermon? I'm accountable to hear and to do. What should I do with it? How should I change my life because of what I just heard? That would be great questions to ask. Because you don't want to merely hear and have information. You want to hear so you can do. You want to hear so you can do. And so for you here, think about areas where you know that you have to make steps so that you can be more faithful to hear and do. And think about those areas and seek by the grace of God, as I'm thinking for myself, areas of saying to not put myself in harm's way so that I can be more faithful to hear and do Christ's sayings. If it's worry, think about ways in which you can change your thought process to praying for the people you're worrying about or the things you're worrying about and trusting in your Heavenly Father. If it's sinful anger, when you are tempted to be angry at people, pray for them. Pray for them and see, thinking about the ways that you can be thankful for them. If you're tempted to lust, think about areas and where it's not wise for you to be or things it's not wise for you to look at. And when you're tempted, instead of thinking, pray for that person or pray for people in general, that you would pray for their personal purity. Or if you're tempted to coveting what belongs to others, instead think about things in which you can be thankful to God for yourself, that God has given you. If you're tempted to laziness, write a to-do list and say, "And I can't sit and do nothing until I finish this to-do list. So I'm making sure I'm not being lazy." If you're tempted to overspend, make a budget and limit yourself to how your budget is. If you're tempted to overspend and not be wise with your money. If you're tempted to steal from others, work hard with your own hands and seek to be faithful with what God has given you to work hard for. All these things, what I'm trying to say is put on, put off. Put off and put on. The way that we hear and do Christ's sayings is say, okay, this is where I need to fight. And therefore I want to put on so that I fight against it. Because it should be our desire to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. It should be your desire by God's grace to be a hearer and a doer. What a wonderful thing it is to see people that are not just hearing sermons, but are seeking to implement sermons and implement what they're reading and do what they're reading and practice what they're reading so that they might be more faithful in all the areas that God's given them as individuals, as part of a family, as part of a church, and as part of a state and nation, that we would be more faithful to hear and do Christ's sayings. And the beautiful thing about it is hearing and doing Christ's sayings is, even though we're doing it because he's worth it and not ultimately for external benefit, the wonderful thing is there is great benefit in keeping Christ's commandments. There's wonderful benefit. It goes better for us when we do it God's way, because God made us and God designed us, and therefore doing it God's way is what's best for us. The beauty of it is we don't do it for that reason, but that's a byproduct of a blessing that we get. As we seek to do it for his glory, we get the benefits. We do it for God's glory, but we get benefit from it. And may God cause all of us by his grace. May God cause you and cause me to repent where we need to repent. To put out things where we need to put out things. And to obey more earnestly where we need to obey more earnestly. Because we want to be marked by people who hear Christ's sayings and do them by the grace of God. One last thing I want to say is Jesus died and rose again to make us like this. The gospel is not merely about our justification, it's about our sanctification. Jesus died and rose again for us to set us free from bondage to sin, so that through the power of his resurrection, as we are united to him and dying with him and being risen with him in newness of life, we might more and more hear and do his sayings. We have a Savior who saved us from the penalty of sin, yes, is saving us from the power of sin, bless his name, and will one day save us from the presence of sin completely. Amen. Our Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray you apply these things to us for the sake of Jesus our Lord. Amen.